What is up, everybody? We are back. It's Bark After Dark. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Jake Roos. We're from Dogs HQ, and we needed to do Bark After Dark because I needed to decompress.
Well, we were supposed
I had to let loose a little bit.
We were supposed to do it last week, to be fair. And so that was no fault of ours.
Well, let's just tell them exactly what happened. We were supposed to have Kyaris Jackson on. Yeah, Kyaris Jackson wanted to come on, and we were happy to have him. And then the dude gets signed. Congratulations. If you are another former Georgia player out there trying to make it, let's get you booked too, and we'll see what happens.
Listen, was it us? We can't say it wasn't. I would agree.
I'm gonna give Davin Bellamy a shout. Maybe he'll be like, yes, let's get on here right now.
Yeah, Brandon Cablano, what's up, dude? I was really looking forward to that. Kyaris is one of my favorite guys that I've ever covered. Just a great personality, man. Humble, you know, just you could tell Peach County to the bone, man. I mean, was a guy who does it the right way. And was really excited to come on with us. But like you said, I started texting him and you sent me an article and you were like, there's probably a reason he's not getting back to you right now. And he's being signed by the New York Giants. So all is well. I do hope that we can work it out with Kyaris here soon. But that was why we weren't on last week. So
congrats, Kyaris, on the direct deposit. I'm really happy for you there, buddy. I'm sure it looked great this week. Whatever it was, but and congrats on getting signed. That's awesome. So Georgia Texas week is here, and the Bulldogs are headed to Austin. That means Palmer Toms and I are headed to Austin. We had a plan as a Dogs HQ staff. We might as well go ahead and put this out there. We were going to try and get an RV, and we were going to take everybody. And I had a driver lined up. We were going to shoot content. We were headed to Texas. We're going to do a little Texas Hold'em, maybe play a little poker for the camera. We were going to let it all hang out too. We were going to bet a little money and let the people see it. We were going to commit crimes on camera for the people just to entertain them, gamble illegally across state lines, all of that stuff. But we ended up not doing that because some things fell through at the end and we didn't get it done. Can't say that I'm all of that upset because, Sunday could be awful.
My liver is thankful that we're not doing that. Oh, to be honest Lord. With you. I was, you know, that would have just been a bender to a large degree. And I'm not saying that I won't have some beers on Saturday while watching the game as well.
We would have boosted the economy of Peru with all the cocaine we would have bought.
No, I think that
nothing goes up my nose. Nothing.
No. Oh, by the way, we should do the disclaimer in case you haven't been able to tell from the first few minutes of this. None of this is very serious at all. We don't really talk a lot of Georgia intel or stuff of that nature. So if you're looking for that, you tuned into the wrong show. What we do here is we try to have a good time. We try to have some fun. We rope Georgia into it. It's a Georgia centric thing, but it's not specifically Georgia football, and it's certainly not what you would call hardcore analysis or even basic analysis.
One of us broadcasts live from the state of Georgia. One of us does.
That's true. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah. And other of us is a prospective Tennessee politician. So
yeah, that's true too. That's what they tell me anyway. But speaking of locations, we have been to Austin before.
We've been there.
We did. And that was a long time ago.
Year was that?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was 2014 that we were there. I think it was like January of 14. We may have even flown. I can't remember if we were there for New Year's Eve or not.
I don't think we were. I have a hard time. They bleed together because you go a few times. It doesn't really do that for you, I don't think, necessarily, because
you and I only ever went together once, though.
Yeah, right. But my experience there kind of bleed together because I'm like, okay, who did I see when I was there? And I know I was there in 13 because I remember Brandon Cablano, our good buddy, who came on Bark After Dark, and we just mentioned a minute ago, telling me, hey, we got Laramie Tunsil, dude.
It was definitely the next year then.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of who was that. Was Sony Michelle, Nick Chubb.
Yes.
Were in that game that year. Michelle even ended up having a pretty good game. Malcolm Parrish, I believe, was there.
I believe that's
right. Dyshon Sims. Also.
Wow, man. I hadn't thought about Dyshon Sims in a long time.
One of my guys.
Let's see. 2014 All-American roster. It was a good trip. It was my first time going. I had a blast. I was just getting started.
I just remember being really panicked that I wasn't going to get you off of the plane because my phone died. I was running around after I got off the plane, presumably trying to buy drugs, probably. I don't know what I was doing, but I was trying to, phone died though. And I couldn't get a charger to work in the window. Like once it died, I was trying to get it to get back to the airport to pick you up. 'Cause you came in a few hours after I did.
Right.
And, I was able to get there and I was like, all right, this is the escalator. I came down when I came, I'm just going to wait here. And there he came. So, yeah. Yeah. Glad I found you there.
You know who was in that game?
Who was that?
Over the roster. Christian McCaffrey played in that.
Oh, okay.
Christian McCaffrey was in that game. Also, a current guy who's doing pretty well in the league, Alan Lazard, was in that game. Joe Mixon played in that game.
Oh, okay. Well. I do remember him and Sony and Nick being in the same class in Georgia recruiting Joe Mixon really hard, despite having those two guys committed.
A Jake Rowe and Jake Rue special also in that game. A young man out of Goose Creek, South Carolina, Stratford High School, Jacob Park, played in that.
Went to Charleston to see Jacob Park.
We did.
Dude, Jacob Park's coach was one of my favorite people that I ever met covering recruiting. I can't remember his name, but he was just kind of a short guy, about 5'3", 5'4", maybe 5'5".
Yeah.
Kind of a little pot belly. I may be shortchanging his height. I'm sure somebody's probably watching his show being like, man, he's 5'7". He may be. I don't know. But he was shorter than me, and I'm not very tall. Dude, he would tell you everything that you possibly could have wanted out of that game. You'd just come up and try to, I'd met him a few times before, and you go up and you kind of rub shoulders with him. Hey, y'all fought hard. I saw him win both times. You're just trying to start some conversation. Yeah, man, our right guard quit on us tonight. My right guard quit. We tried to run smash concept like six times, bust through. Yeah, I'm just giving it to him. If we didn't have this, just airing it out. I think he thought I was probably maybe like a Charleston newspaper guy or something. He was one of the coolest people I met. And Park was always pretty good to us too. It turned out to be, a halfway competent quarterback at the college level, just not at Georgia. And rough times at Georgia, but hey, that 2014 class, I think Lorenzo Carter, was he an Under Armour guy? He was in that class.
Yeah.
But that class ended up
being an Under Armour guy, though.
That class paved the way for 2017. That one was a big part of why Georgia was able to make that 2017 season happen, was because of that class. And with Sony and Nick and even Malcolm Parrish, and guys like that. That was the only time we were there together. And we had an off day, if I remember correctly. We had a day where the players didn't practice, or maybe the practice was closed.
Yep.
And we just didn't have anything going on. It was like, hey, let's go. We're in San Antonio. Let's go to Austin. So we went there. We didn't know what to do. Didn't have any idea.
The only time you've ever been to Austin?
It's the only time I've ever been to Austin. Day trip. Day trip. Went to Stubbs Barbecue and had some pretty decent barbecue there. Really good collard greens. Really good collard greens.
Yep.
And met a friend of ours, sister, down for a drink. Just kind of hung out for a little while next to a tattoo shop, I remember correctly.
Yes, I believe that is correct, if I'm not mistaken. I was trying to remember the name of the bar we went to.
I got no idea.
It was like over on 6th Street. It was something with a monkey.
I can't believe you remember that, because I'm sitting here thinking, and I've got a really good memory. I was sitting here thinking, if you gave me a list of bars and a map of 6th Street, I don't think for $1 billion I could tell you.
I'm almost certain, in fact, it was called the Chuggin' Monkey. I've looked it up now, and I believe that may have been. It was something with a monkey. I did remember that for whatever reason.
Sounds like the kind of establishment I would frequent.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of think of myself as a chugging monkey sometimes. Had a chance to go out and see my friend Nick's sister, Megan, who I'm also good friends with. She's a wonderful young lady. We had a good time, man.
And she told us all the barbecue places we should have eaten at.
That's true. Yeah, we got a lot. I'm still, at least, you know, I guess if you got to go for your first time, go do a classic, right? There's something to be said. There's a reason the guy has a line of the sauces available at Walmart. I mean, you know, you don't get there by being.
It almost felt more like a venue than it did a restaurant, though. You know, with all the merch they were selling, they had a really nice stage there. I mean, I've heard podcasts before. And I wasn't actually listening to the podcast. I saw this on a clip, I think it was, and it was Joe Rogan talking to somebody else that lives in Austin, one of the other comedians that lives in Austin. And he was talking about how he had gone and seen some local band at Stubbs.
Okay.
And I was like, dang, well, Stubbs must be, I mean, you got people like Rogan going to see concerts at Stubbs. I mean, you know, that's a pretty popular guy. I'm sure he gets seen a lot. I mean, that seems like a pretty cool venue when you've, you know, when you're able to kind of, when celebrities are able to kind of darken your doors and kind of do so without really having a whole lot to worry about. I thought that was pretty interesting. It seems like a pretty cool venue, but the food was okay. It wasn't amazing.
Yeah, it was fine. We weren't there very long. We were not in Austin. I mean, what, like 4 or 5 hours, I felt like.
Yeah, it was because our buddy Josh Hemholt, who, is Josh That's still right. over at Rivals?
I think so. I don't know that for sure.
Josh hit us up because both of us were working for UGA Sports at the time, which is in the Rivals Network. And I remember Josh hitting us up like, hey, I'd love to take you guys out to dinner tonight. Where are you at? And I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, he was a national analyst and he was taking us to dinner on the Rivals dime. And, you know,
he is the director of operations for Rivals. And well earned, man. Josh Hemholt, one of the great.
Oh, he's one of the best dudes ever.
One of the great guys. Best dudes ever. Man, awesome guy.
I'd love to get him on Bark After Dark sometime.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I love that. I love his thick Midwestern accent. It's probably one of my favorite things about
it. He really does have one. You know, he's got a great accent.
Jake, how you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. But and he knows his ball. I believe he played at Grand Valley, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I bet he
knocked the hell out of somebody too.
Oh, you know he did, dude.
You know he's a hammerhead.
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
Smart, hey, brilliant dude, smart dude. I bet there's a bone in the front of his head that's hard as a rock, dude. I bet he he's tough as hell. If you've never followed Josh's work, he's a great dude. I think he broke in the industry covering Michigan.
I believe that's
Then kind of worked his way up to and is wonderful. But yeah, he invited us to go out to dinner. I think we went to Landry's you wore a sweater vest.
I did. I'll never forget that. You've given me shit about that many times over the years about that.
Well, I don't know if it was a vest. I think it was a sweater. I think it was just a sweater with a button up shirt underneath.
It was a collar with a collar under it. I wore a collared shirt under it, which is a classic look. I don't know why I catch hell for that, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always looked at it as a really, really good form of birth control. You know, like just, you know, wear a sweater with a button up underneath it, the collar hanging out, and that's a good way to make sure that you're gonna have no babies.
You can dry up a lake like that.
That's what they told my brother in the Navy. If you had contact lenses, they took your contact lenses away from you and they gave you the rims. They give you the black rim glasses and they call it a birth control.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me.
Hey, brother, come over here and get your birth control so you can see.
I'm curious. So you normally, now, if I know you, Jake, you normally have a plan for these sorts of things. So I'm curious, what do you have planned for Austin? Where might people run into you?
It's always about the local fare. So what I'm thinking is Thai food. You know, Austin is known for its Thai food, maybe some Indian as well.
Yeah.
I'm attacking the barbecue. And honestly, like, I don't know what's happened to me the last couple of years. I'm just not a huge brisket guy anymore. Like I've had some good brisket.
I think it's because it's so often done so poorly. And you've had good, and once you've had good, it's hard to go the other direction.
For me, I went through a time where I loved cooking it and it was really tasty and I could eat a lot of it and it was great. But now it's just kind of like, all right, give me one piece. Like give me one good strip of brisket because it's fatty and it's heavy. And I want to eat a fatty, heavy, prime piece of brisket. So I want to eat a really good one. But then it's just so heavy. And I know what I'm about to say sounds like completely contradicting, but I'm really more excited about the sausage.
The sausage. Yes.
Sausage in Texas is the Texas sausage, the jalapeno cheddar, the all of that stuff. And another thing that that's really grown on me is, you know, I feel like people have figured out smoked turkey. I figured they have really figured out how to kind of put a bark on it and keep it juicy, inject it and brine it and all that stuff and give it a lot of care and make it something really good. And that's something else I'm interested to try out too, because I've got some buddies or some people that I've known through the websites that I've worked at through the years that I've kept in contact with who live in the area. And they, you know, it's kind of like, what is that song? The roasted pork sandwich in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's
brisket is the Philly cheesesteak, and right. It's almost like kind of smoked turkey in some ways. Is for some folks, it's kind of becoming that roasted pork sandwich for them. It's kind of becoming that 1B or B option for everybody.
Yeah, I can see that. No, I agree with you. To me, the sausage is a consistently like underrated aspect of the whole thing. And if you can find the good, I mean, I just love it in general, man. I mean, I've got, there's a great meat market down in Ball Ground, Georgia that I go to. It's called Frankfurt Doner and Meats. They make doner sandwiches, which is essentially like the German version of a gyro, but they also make their own sausage in house, and it's killer. I got some defrosting in my fridge right now. It's pineapple habanero, I believe, is what I got in there. And I got it. I'm so looking forward to that. So I agree with you. I'm jealous of you for that reason. I'm not jealous of you for this trip as much as I thought I would be, perhaps, because Austin, I think I probably missed the window when I would have really enjoyed Austin most, which was probably about 15 years ago. It seems like now everything I read about it, it makes it sound like it's a big major. It's almost like a major American city at this point. So it's like covered
okay.
up.
Okay, you went a different direction. I thought you were going. I thought you were saying like I would be young enough to really experience it all, which is probably part of why you said that. I would also be young enough to do some shit to kill myself too.
Sure.
You know. By the way, I just cursed like that, and I had that little hiccup afterward because I cursed on the Bill Shank show, not the Bill Shank show, the our Roos and Rowe show the other day or earlier today. Yeah. And we pre-recorded that, and I had to we had to just start the segment all over again. I was completely rattled. So I'm glad I can be rattled in front of you guys. We're gonna build some of the bloopers we do off of those pre-recorded shows and try to show them to you here on Bark After Dark at some point.
Yeah, as you would imagine, there are plenty. But you haven't told me you're telling me you haven't like lined a place out. You don't even have one circle that you're like, I'm going to go here.
Not quite yet. No, I mean, I still want to kind of figure out what we're going to do. I feel like I've got to do Franklin's, man. Like, I mean,
that's a commitment.
It is, but it's kind of like.
But it is. The other thing that I've heard, somebody I believe even on the dog walk said it, was you can go get almost as good at Terry Black's and you're not going to have to deal with the insanity of that.
Yeah, I'd rather just. Yeah. I hate to say I've been twice and I didn't go. You know, like it's.
When are you going out? Friday?
We're going Thursday. Leaving. Okay. Homer and I are leaving out on Thursday. Honestly, I thought we might try to. I don't want to like spin out on barbecue, so we might not do this. But apparently, there's a couple of really good places in Dallas. We're flying into Dallas because flights were just. I'm only going to fly Delta because I want the miles. And all that stuff. And I will fly and drive a few hours if I have to, if I can get it under company policy so we can, you know, kind of get the travel rewards for it. I think a lot of people kind of operate that way. I know my man, Seth Emerson, anytime there's like a media hotel, that's not a Marriott, he'll just stay off site. I've done the same thing before. You know, want to get a good meal in Dallas would be nice before we kind of headed that way, but we might just ride straight out of Austin. You could get there on Sunday in terms of like going to Franklin's or going to somewhere on barbecue. Can try two different places because we're going to have Friday. Probably not going to do anything on game day. Make go try to crash that Dog Nation tailgate, Matt Chernoff and company, see what they're up to.
I don't know if this appeals to you, but you said Dallas and it came to my mind. There's a place that I'm going to recommend, and it's 15 minutes from the Dallas airport. I've never gotten the sense that you're quite as much of a pizza guy as I am.
Oh, I love pizza.
They're probably the second best pizza I've ever had in my life. New York pizza is still the best that I've ever had. But the second best pizza I've ever had in my life was at a place called Cane Rosso in Dallas. There's one 15 minutes from the airport. They do one called the Honey Bastard. And it's a spicy, I believe it was spicy pepperoni and a hot honey on top of it. Absolutely phenomenal. Worth the trip. If I ever get back to Dallas, that's where I'm going to go. So I that's my recommendation for your Dallas spot.
Might have to check it out. I'm pretty traditional when it comes to pizza, man. I'm pretty two topping or three topping guy for me. The cheese, pepperoni, and mushrooms.
That's a Zach Thrower mentality.
All I need. No, it's not that. I do love a good supreme. Don't get me wrong. Like a good supreme pizza is fine. I'm not going to like turn it down. But if I'm ordering, it's pepperoni. I've tried the hot honey thing, and it's just not.
Oh, you know, I love it.
There was a thing a little while back. A friend of ours had ordered some like mellow mushroom. Mellow mushroom is really solid pizza. I mean, it's not like top of the line or anything like that, but it's clearly better and more expensive than anything else you're going to find out there. And he's like, hey man, I got this hot honey, try it out. And he, you know, drizzled some of the hot honey on there and I tried it and I was like, I liked it better when it didn't have the hot honey on it. So, but I do love pizza. Pizza's great and probably eat a lot of barbecue. Try something a little, you know, kind of off the barbecue path, you know, what depending on what we do for dinner on Thursday. The thing I'm really excited about, Jake, Centurion Club.
Oh,
Centurion Lounge.
Oh, yes.
Anytime I get to fly, go to that Centurion Lounge. I'm not even, listen.
It's the greatest. It's incomparable.
I am in no way trying to make a commercial for American Express right here. American Express, if you want to, you know, I don't know, give me some money. We'll talk about it. But man, I tell you what, I'm getting to the airport 3 hours early. I will walk into the Centurion Lounge 3 hours before my flight. And I'll work and I will drink tequila soda and lime and I will eat from the buffet. That is absolutely glorious. And I'll probably board a plane at less than full capacity, I would imagine.
Sure. I would agree.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to discussing this trip on the next Bark After Dark.
We'll talk about it. You know, maybe I can get some video of Palmer being Palmer, you know,
tell me this. Let's talk about this. Cause I was kind of curious. Palmer and I have not traveled a lot together. We went to the national championship in 22. But we haven't really taken a lot of trips together. What's it like traveling with Palmer? Is he a food guy? Is he a food guy? Is he a big food guy?
He is. And I'll say this about Palmer too. Palmer's 16 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
Like I was driving a car when Palmer was born.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I've never shared a hotel room. I have shared hotel rooms with Palmer Toms more than I've shared a hotel room with my own wife.
Yeah, sure.
When you think about all the bowl trips where we've had to stay together for an entire week and all that stuff, dude, when I tell you that I have never once or he has never once been like, dude, there's never been one of those like, blow ups, nothing. What we typically do is, dude, we have the best time just like goofing off and acting like children as far as like laughing and shit.
Yeah.
Like, sending each other. It's a lot of fun. Palmer's a good dude to travel with. He's really good to like fly and get rental cars and stuff like that with, because he's just no anxiety, like none, like no, like asking you a bunch of questions, trying to figure stuff out. It's like, I don't know, man. Palmer, honestly, when we travel together, it's almost like Palmer's the adult. And I'm like the kid a little bit.
I believe.
Like I'm the one with kind of energy and kind of moving around. And Palmer's just like, easy does it, straight through the airport, calm as a cucumber. Great, great dude to travel with. Now, we've gotten ourselves in some trouble almost running out of gas before when we drive to some of these games. There have been a couple times we're running on fumes. There was I should probably save this for when Palmer comes on Bark After Dark at some point. And he's not behind the scenes right now, which is why we're continuing to say nice things about him. If he was back there, I wouldn't say anything nice about him. But we got into an issue on the way home from the Tennessee game last year where I had to get back because we were leaving as a family that Sunday to go to Zion, to go to Utah. And we left after the Tennessee game and drove all the way back to Athens. And it was a 3:30 game. We got back late. And man, we're headed back, and all of a sudden the gas light comes on. And I'm like, yeah, we get to hit exit. And boy, there were no exits. Well, and this was my fault. The first time was Palmer's fault. We were going to Kentucky, and we were starving and almost ran out of gas. This time we were just almost running out of gas. Man, we pulled up to this service station, and there was this guy screaming at this another guy because he said he's hit his wife or a girlfriend in the cab of the long haul truck and all this stuff. And I'm like, he's like, I used to be a police. I've got a gun. And I'm like, okay, I'm gone. You know, like,
I mean, I thought you were gonna say in the cab of the Chevy Lumina van.
No.
Driving at that gas station.
Oh my god. Chevy Lumina van. I think we had one of those when I was a kid, but no, Palmer's a good travel partner, man. We have a lot of fun, especially enjoy flying together. We started flying down to Florida. I got him doing that last year, and that was a lot of fun too. So excited about these next few weeks. I haven't traveled yet this year. I didn't go to Alabama. I didn't go to Kentucky, but I don't know.
Next year, we need to find a game to go to together.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a little bit excited about Ole Miss. I'm a little bit excited about the Ole Miss game because last time I was there, I went to this Wild Game restaurant in Tupelo, where I got some elk sausage and
breakfast. Yeah.
Huh?
Big Bad Breakfast also, didn't you go?
Yeah, Big Bad Breakfast is pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty solid. It's like kind of like eating at Mama's Boy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, good skillet. Yeah. Get you a good skillet of Big Bag Breakfast, a lot of gravy on it.
Well, listen, we've talked a lot about, you said you were the kid in traveling, and I'm getting ready to, there's getting ready to be a child in my life. And thank God it's not my own child. No one needs that. But my sister is having.
You'd be a great dad, dude. You'd be a great dad.
Well, thank you. I've had several people tell me that.
You crush it.
Yeah, well, someone once told me, they said, you would be a great dad because you would take it seriously because you would want to raise a good person. And I don't disagree with that, but I'm also a deeply selfish individual, and I value my alone time.
Yeah, I don't know how much intent plays into who you are.
Well, okay, sure.
I think you just are, you know, just Bruce. You know, I think you would just be yourself with your kid and – you know, probably learn some nurturing things that maybe you didn't already know, just in terms of like, oh, well, this slobbering little thing's not gonna, what did Tim Watts call him, shitting, spitting potatoes? dude, that was so funny when he told his wife. He's like, yeah, she's crying. He's crying over here. He's doing something. He's like, well, he doesn't know what he can't tell you what he wants. Because I feel like that's a him problem. That's on him. Yeah, man. No, I mean, you'd be good at it.
My sister's having her first kid, though. It'll be the first kid in our family, I guess. You know, the next generation is probably the best way to say that. So first for my parents, this will be the first grandkid and all this stuff. So I'm gonna be an uncle for the first time, which is kind of cool. That's neat, right? I guess. It's a new adventure for me. And I'll be honest, Jake. I got a lot more excited about it talking to you about it because. You said you implied that it is a pretty dope thing to be an uncle. And I'm curious, what is your advice to me as a current uncle to a future uncle?
Well, right now I have my 11th niece or nephew in the oven. My brother's wife is pregnant. My brother is also 6 years older than me. He has a gaggle of children. My brother has seven kids. But he has seven kids, or is about to have seven kids, and a couple of stepkids too. So, man, being an uncle is the greatest thing ever. You know, like in pickup basketball, where you call fouls on yourself, like you kind of have to, you know, you call a foul. I feel like there are some areas in life where you can actually rate yourself. Like you can actually say, okay, I'm good at this or I'm not good at this. And fatherhood or where you're at in your own career, self-evaluation, stuff like that, I think you're probably better just kind of saying, you know, let me just do the best job I can do and not trying to think about how good I am at it. As an uncle, I'm an A-plus uncle. I'm elite. I'm an absolutely elite uncle. I love my two oldest nieces. My oldest niece is 20 and her little sister is 18. They are also my brother's kids. And dude, they are two of my favorite people in the world, and I'm their favorite one of their favorite people in the world. I try to spend every moment I can with them. My sister's kids, awesome. Love them to death. My brother's boys, the best. Being an uncle is incredible, and I'm good at it.
What is it though? What is it that makes being the uncle so special when you're?
I think it's honestly like I think kids just adore it when adults are like transparent with them, and I don't mean transparent like putting adult issues on them.
Sure.
But I think like if you I don't necessarily think you got to get on their level, but if you will be yourself and just kind of be like, yeah, that sucks, you know, and you know, just identify and understand them a little bit. And I think there's a little bit of pressure that comes off when there's, I don't want to say there are fewer boundaries, but it's kind of like there are fewer, you're not going to, unless you've got a hard-o uncle, you're not going to get punished by your uncle for, you know, sure, saying something crazy or cursing or anything like that, dude. I mean, you know, that's just one of those things. So I think, you know, when kids can kind of let their guard down around you and talk to you when you're and they're like on that niece and nephew level, it's just amazing. And they love being listened to, and it's awesome because you can kind of pick up on that energy of acceptance they're kind of sending back to you, kind of like, I needed to talk about this, or I needed somebody. Because when both of my nieces were going through kind of especially my oldest niece was going through the college.
Yeah.
Or, you know, where am I going to go to college? What do I want to major in? All that stuff. We were talking like every day, every single day. And, you know, that was, I don't know, man, that's a really rewarding time. And not only that, when they're just kids and you can play with them and, you know, the one refrain I always get from my nephews is again, because, you know, you just throw them around. Sure. And wrestle with them and they're like, do it again. That's fun. Sure. Too. So they find a way. I feel like nieces and nephews find a way to tap into your humanity, and maybe some ways that parenthood doesn't, because in parenthood there's anxiety and there's pressure to kind of do the right thing and teach the right lesson and set the right example and to keep the right boundaries up. Whereas when you're an uncle, I don't know. I feel like you get a chance to kind of let down and maybe be a cooler version of yourself, or a better version of yourself, a more transparent version of yourself for somebody that needs it.
Well, and I was just doing the math on this. So when this baby turns 18, I will be 55 years old. So I can only imagine. I'm a pretty unhinged individual at 37. If I'm still around at 55, I can only imagine what that will be like. Look, I would like to have an uncle like me. My uncle, I have an uncle, and he's a big Georgia fan, a super good guy. And he's cool as shit, man. And my uncle and I are 15 years apart in age. So he was a lot like my big brother growing up, really, but you know, like we did all kinds of fun shit together, man. You know, he's a really artistic guy, but he also like loved to ride three wheelers and like do like, you know, like adrenaline junkie stuff. And he liked to scare people, and he's got a Bigfoot costume, and you know, like he like, you know, we drink a beer together and like, you know, so I'm looking forward to some stuff like that, man. I think that'll be cool. Like, you know, it's, you've got the opportunity to, like you said, I think the stakes are a lot lower. And there's something to be said too, at least from my perspective, of like, hey, I love you. And also too, now you can go back to your home where you live.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another point, for
sure. And I will go to my home now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another big part of it as well. You know, my uncles weren't really crazy. You know, they weren't really as multifaceted as your uncles were. They just really, they were just like, hey, you want to, let me take you out 20 miles offshore and let's catch some red snapper. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's do that. You know, you want to bring it back? You want me to clean them all and we'll bring it back and eat them like right away? Oh yeah, let's do that. You know,
yeah.
We always went on vacation with my uncles and especially down to the beach, and a lot of fun, always getting into something, can, you know, take a paper clip and I mean, they're MacGyvers, just absolute MacGyvers of people. And funny dudes, great funny dudes, but not like more buttoned up, not wild, not crazy, no Bigfoot costumes in my crew. Or anything like that. Just lots of real good meals, man. Lots of real good meals and conversation and, political talk, really.
No, I bet.
Yeah. In a way that, doesn't bother me a whole lot. They just, they ain't really happy with anybody about anything.
Sure. Which is honestly a place that you've moved to as well. So there are a lot of people rubbed off.
Not really influenced by them though. I got better energy when it comes to that type of thing. I'm kind of like, hey, I don't need those people. We're good. We got this all together. And they're like, well, I don't need those people. We're all going to hell. It's falling apart. But sure. It is kind of funny to observe the panic.
No, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be neat. And the thing about it is, too, I'm trying to, be conscious about this. I'm trying to, I'm not necessarily, I'm not a big kid guy. I'm not really that doesn't do a lot for me. Obviously, I don't really want to have my own kids or anything like that. But I'm trying to, be I want to be involved. I want to try and make a good effort and have a kid who's like, oh, wow, I have a cool uncle. That would be neat to me.
Let me give you a piece of advice. It's not going to come naturally to you right now. I've always been like a baby holder. Right. Like I've always been let me grab that baby. I like babies, but if you're not, it's going to take a while. But you can't wait until that kid is like a year and a half, 2 years old, starts talking before you show any interest, because he's going to be like, who the hell are you? You got to hold the baby. You got to hang out. You got to make the baby laugh. You got to put in some legwork. You got to get a little bit upset sometimes whenever it cries, whenever you try to talk to it. All right. Yeah. But you got to stay in there and you got to press. And then when they start to develop their own personality and they start to
coming. I was kind of moving from that place of, I was like, well, I'll just give it some time. I'll let it kind of,
You got to put in the legwork early if you want the payoff later.
Okay. All right.
That baby's going to look at you at 20 months and be like, the hell is this? Why is he trying to talk to me? I don't know this guy. This guy's not thrown me in the air once.
Yeah. Yes. Sure. Sure.
Yeah. I mean? This guy has not held me by my feet, not once.
Absolutely.
Power bomb him. All right. He needs to be power bombed by 18 months. He needs to have experienced his first power bomb.
I agree. You got to get in. Now I was real into this when my cousins were young. I was real into the Razor's Edge. I enjoyed delivering the Razor's Edge.
The best thing though is you get them in there and you get them jumping on the bed, right? And you get them jumping on the bed, and then you just swipe their legs out from under them. And they love it. They love it so much that you're gonna love it. It's gonna be great. Just sweep the leg, Johnny. Just take it out.
Well. One day I hope that I can go back and I can show the kid that I recorded a podcast on the day of his birth.
Excited about this. You got me wanting to maybe go up there and try to be an uncle to your nephew.
can I be an uncle to your child?
Yeah. Hey, you don't know me, but my name's Jake too. And,
oh, Jesus Christ. Well, one thing you can't do around kids is jaking off. Let's go ahead and dive in on that one this week. Jake Rowe, do you want me to go first? You got one?
You go first.
All right, I got one. I was going to use this one a couple of weeks ago because I'm really interested to hear the answer to this. It popped up in my mind. I was like, this is a good question because I think you and I both know a lot of people like this. Who in your life, and it doesn't have to be someone you know closely, it could be someone you went to high school with, someone you knew in college, whatever, but when I ask you, who is the most naturally gifted person you've ever known, who comes to mind?
Well, what are we talking about, ever known?
Well, I mean, anybody, I mean, you saw a guy you went to high school with, he was the greatest athlete and everything came easy to him. This guy I knew, he partied his ass off, but he got straight A's in college, I mean, just a person who things came easily to, because I'm curious as to who that would be.
You know, across the board, like, okay, this guy's been good at everything he's ever done. It's probably my older brother, John. Okay. Like, I'm dead serious. I mean, he was a good athlete. When John was, when my brother was like a freshman in high school, he graduated his freshman, or he went, got through his freshman year, and he was like, I want to be starting shortstop for Atkins County Baseball. And they had a good baseball program. John White, Tommy Adcock had a really good baseball program there. Played for the state title or in Final Four against Pace Academy and some major league baseball prospects. I believe my brother's junior year. But he did it. And then he graduates high school and he's like, I'm going to go into the Navy. And he finishes second in his class. And then he's like, hey, I'm going to start framing houses, and just becomes wildly successful. Now, you know, we can talk about, you know, kind of being good at something, getting tired of it and moving on to something else. That's a fault. But
yeah,
I would say probably just in terms of, you know, obviously athletically, I don't know, man. I played with some dudes down at Atkinson County and went to school with some dudes that never did anything. I'll tell you one, and he made national news years and years ago. There was a guy named Jameel Terrell. Jameel was a PE superstar.
Okay.
6 foot eight, 6 foot seven, 6 foot eight. Phenomenal basketball player. I mean, had handles, could jump, could dunk. Could play down low, could do all that stuff. Well, I didn't even think about Jameel Terrell after I got out of high school. I think Jameel was a year older than I was. Didn't even think about him. Then a couple years later, I'm watching ESPN. He never played high school basketball for us. And I guess it was because of grades. St. Bonaventure is in the NCAA tournament, but they've had to kick one of their or declare ineligible one of their best players because while he helped them get to the NCAA tournament, he wasn't eligible to enroll at the school because all he had was a welding certificate. And his name was Jameel Terrell. And I had no idea. Yeah, it was that guy. It was Jameel Terrell, who didn't play a competitive, organized game of basketball his entire high school life. It may have been the conference championships. It may not have been the NCAA tournament.
He made it from your high school though to Allegheny, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Gone. Hold on. Let's see if we can find this. Riveting here.
Watch Jake Rowe use the Google machine.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, so, yeah, Jameel Terrell, St. Bonaventure forward. He didn't have a great year. He averaged 7 points a game, but he was 2002, 2003. Okay. But it was I guess he was a couple years older than me, but I remember seeing that, and I was like, oh, my God, what happened here? Like, you know, where did he go? And, that was one of the things that, you know, one of the – weird stories from high school, but he was always that kid. You're like, why is he not playing? And he didn't talk to anybody. Like nobody really wanted to talk to him a whole lot.
Yeah.
Cause he was real standoff. He grew up in our hometown. He didn't move in from anywhere.
Sure.
And just dominated everybody in pickup basketball and PE and went and got a welding certificate. And I think they passed it off from like a Brunswick Technical College.
Okay.
He had gotten in or that he had graduated or something and they accepted him. I wasn't able to find a news story on it, but I was able to find his old ESPN profile, which may not even be correct. But, they had to declare him ineligible, maybe forfeit some games because he wasn't eligible. But one of the most naturally gifted athletes, Matthew Thomas, who played at South Carolina and had a big mm-hmm. catch against Georgia in 2003, he was another one. He was a really good baseball player, too. If he wanted to do that, he could have been great at it. So, a few talented dudes. Some of them were rubbed off on me at some point. All right. So when you look at kind of we're about to be in election season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to talk about politics and everybody wants to do this and everybody wants to, and there's conspiracy theories. It's, I don't know, man. It's so hard to kind of wrap your mind around all of it.
Yes.
When you start looking, and the reason I ask you this was that I caught this about myself the other day and I wanted to find out how you felt about it. When it comes to political commentary and political opinion and stuff that they're showing and stuff like that, what catches your eye? What makes you stop and look?
To be honest with you, this year, not much.
Okay.
This is probably the most disconnected I have been from an election cycle in a long, long time. And I got to tell you, Jake, I did that kind of as an experiment to myself to see like, well, maybe I could give this a shot and see how I feel. And I think for my mental health, I think it's done wonders.
Yeah.
I really think it has removed a lot of negativity from my life.
Yeah.
And that's been the big takeaway that I've had. Like, you know, I have political leanings, of course. I mean, we're not going to get into that here. But what I realized was that engaging this stuff constantly, which is what I did for a long time throughout my 20s, I was like, I got to read every article. I got to watch every interview.
They've got us in a vice. You need to know what's going on as a human and a citizen of the earth. But at the same time, like that's not what it is.
Right. Right. And you're being inundated, you know, I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, and maybe it was like, I don't know. I don't know what it was like in the 90s. I don't remember. I mean, I wasn't keeping up with election. They didn't play that shit on Nickelodeon. So I wasn't watching it, you know, but like, somebody mentioned the other day, they said, you know, there was a political ad before one of our podcasts.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, I listen to this stuff for an escape. And I commented back and I said, these people do not want you to have escapes. They don't want you to be able to get away from this stuff. And I've done.
That's where all that fundraising, all that money is to make sure that you can't escape them.
One of the biggest things that I've done probably in the last 6 months, one of the biggest changes that I've made in my life, because for a while I was just like, how much could it really matter? Is I stopped using that For You tab on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I 100%. Switched back to following. And when I switched it back to what I had created and curated my Twitter to be, it was suddenly a lot more.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier for me to consume.
Yeah.
The other thing was dark. There was some weird shit going on that For You thing, man. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. I wish I could do the digital version of put some tape over it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. throw something over it so you don't have to look at it. Like I wish I could. And I guess that's what you do when you toggle, but sometimes that stuff toggles right back.
Yeah.
And the good thing about it is if you spend enough time on your following page, you will know right away when you're on the other.
You're absolutely 100%. Correct. It is absolutely correct. And suddenly I found myself, because like I said, when it first came out. Because
usually for me, it goes like this. Scroll down, the hell? Oh, that's it. You know, it's like, bam.
When it first came out though, for real, I was like, well, how big of a difference could this really be?
Yeah.
Like I'm going to get most of my following stuff and then they're going to curate things that maybe I would like to see, which in theory sounds like a pretty good deal. That wasn't what I wanted to see. It was not what I was trying to see, man. I was trying to be followed for sports and follow comedians and laugh and along the way. There's so much darkness to the whole thing. And I'm saying this across the aisle. So don't think if you're out there that I'm talking about your specific political party. There's darkness on all of this, brother. And I mean that in the sense of like, there's no joy to it. It's all gross. It's all argumentative. It's all sad. It's just nastiness. And when you invite that into your life, man, if you're consuming that, you have to be conscious of what you're consuming. Because it's going to shape things, whether or not you realize that. For a long time, I don't know that I subscribed to that idea. I was just like, you know, I'll watch whatever. It doesn't matter. The older I've gotten, the more I realize that stuff begins to influence your energy and it begins to influence your mental state. And if you're consuming depressive stuff all the time, the world seems depressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll tell you, not much has caught my eye. I will say, though, that there are a couple of those political ads, and it was mentioned on our board, that have made me laugh.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And those are funny.
I'm not rich as hell.
I'm not rich as hell is hilarious. That's an objectively funny line.
Gets me every time.
Like that stuff, I guess, has caught my eye. That's caught my attention, but... Yeah, like I said, man, I've been disconnected this go round, and for good reason. And like I said, I think I'm better for it. I'm kind of glad that I did it. I would advise other people to do it. I'm not saying don't be completely unaware. Don't be, you know, totally disengaged, but be conscious of how much you're consuming it and be conscious of how it's affecting you. Because I think for me, it was affecting me a lot more than I
did. Yeah. And what we've seen here lately only just cements my point with these two hurricanes that we've had come through is that let them talk, let them spend their money to get their ads and give you, you know, escape, and let them campaign instead of doing their job. And all of them, God almighty, I mean, their jobs are to campaign. I don't know when we're going to figure that part out.
Yeah.
But it's like, no matter what, you are going to get more from that dude who lives a mile and a half away, who has a chainsaw, because you've got a trailer. You guys are going to be there for each other way more. And you may vote on the complete end of the spectrum, and you,
100%.
You need that person way before you. And listen, I know people that I would be like, I think you are insane with what you believe as far as, you know, politically, philosophically, all that stuff. But you know what, man, you're my neighbor and I care about you. And sure. I want us to build a community here together. And, you know, I honestly, as somebody who has put a lot of thought into this, I don't have a whole lot of big overarching political philosophy that I adhere to. I really don't. But I do know that I don't just want to get along with my neighbor. I want to have a relationship with my neighbor. I want to be on great terms with my neighbor. I want trust and that kind of thing from the people that are in my life. And I don't care who you vote for. It just doesn't bother me because we need each other more than we need them. And I hate to sound like a kumbaya type deal. The ones that make me stop though are the ones that I have been able to either the ones that look ridiculous and like they may make me laugh.
Yeah.
Or ones that I already have seen and they do make me laugh because I have an intense addiction to scrolling videos. Roosh knows this by the links I send to him. I do Facebook, I do Twitter, I do Instagram, and I do TikTok.
Yeah.
And I roll through. But you want me to tell you what's all over my algorithms? It is not, because I look at it all the time with my wife, it is not women shaking their butts. It is actually just funny stuff constantly. Animal videos. Stuff that I can laugh at because
mine's videos of people using Pecorino Romano. You know, I mean, it's like mine's like nothing. I got like nothing but cooking videos on mine, which makes sense.
Cacio e pepe. Right. Do you know how many times I've seen cacio e pepe been made on TikTok? Like 7,000 times,
dude. And they have taken cacio e pepe and made every dish possible with it.
Yeah,
if it can be cacio e pepe, it has been.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I learned how to make biscuits from scratch on TikTok. I learned how to do a lot of stuff
out there. If you really do like the cucumber guy, have you seen the cucumber guy?
I have not.
Sometimes you got to eat a whole cucumber. He basically makes these cucumber salads, and he's tried a bunch of different ones. I've started doing the cucumber salads, man. I'm eating cucumbers all the time. They're delicious.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sound like Dave Chappelle talking. It's not Dave Chappelle talking about fried chicken right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
that Dave Chappelle is delicious. All right, folks, we will try to be back with you next Monday. It is going to be one hell of an end of the week for us. I do know that with us. Me and Palmer, you don't get back from Texas until like late Sunday night. Roos and Rusty, you're going to have to handle the Georgia show again next Sunday night. So we got a lot going on. We'll do everything we can to get back with you next Monday. Georgia will be on bye. And Godspeed to the dogs and the dog fans headed out to Austin, Texas. I hope we run into some of you. Please, if you see us, reach out. Palmer and I are going to probably be trying to wear some Dogs HQ stuff. We'd love to see some of you if you're out in Austin.
Palmer likes to be greeted. If you're familiar with what a sack tap is, he likes to be greeted with a sack tap. So.
Yeah. Like, I did, one time I saw somebody do it too soft, and Palmer's like, that's all you got. So get in there. Do it. Yeah. Get after it. We'll see you.